Genesis chapter 13. You know, we want to seek the Lord as a church. We want to walk the right direction as a church in our family. But I want to talk to you this morning. Really, the title of the message is Walking the Wrong Direction. Walking the Wrong Direction. We're going to look at an example from the Scriptures of where someone just went the wrong way. The wrong way. Genesis here, chapter number 13, and verse number 5. Genesis 13, verse 5. Why don't you stand with me if you can, and we'll read the Word of God together. Genesis chapter 13, beginning there in verse 5. The Bible says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us now in this time to really focus on your word, to put everything else aside, every distraction, every other thought of the mind, and to be able to focus on your word. Spirit of God, would you control our thinking right now, control our mind? I pray that you'd help us to be yielded and open to your spirit, that we'd be convicted and challenged by your word, by your speaking to us, and that we would be changed for the better. Help us, Father, to not go the wrong direction. Help children and young people and adults to be warned from going the wrong direction. If we've made some wrong choices, help us, Lord, to turn and go the right way. I would pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. There are a lot of hurricanes that happen every year that bring a lot of devastation on the places that they hit. And one of the things that people get concerned about, one of the things that people spend a lot of money on, is trying to figure out which direction that hurricane might go. See if they can predict it. See if they can warn some people in time to protect them from the devastation of a hurricane and what directions it's taking. Listen, direction is always important, isn't it? Direction in life. Direction's important when we consider someone's spiritual life. In Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham, or Abram, he was known as at that time. God called Abram from his home country to a promised land. And it's here that we first begin to hear about this man named Lot. He was Abram's nephew, and he traveled with him to Canaan. Throughout Lot's life, he made some worldly choices, even though he had a godly uncle praying for him. You know, in spite of maybe having someone praying for you, you can make some wrong choices. You know, so much is going to be affected by the decisions you make and the choices that you make in life. On one occasion, Lot was even abducted, his family, by a group of desert chiefs, and Abraham rescued him. Yet even then, he would not return to the will of God. I want you to notice first this morning Lot's direction, that it was away from a spiritual man. Here was Abraham that was a spiritual influence in his life. And he made a decision to go away from that godly influence. He made a decision to go away from that spiritual man in his life. We see that here in verses 8 and 9. Genesis chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. "And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." He chose a direction away from that spiritual man. He chose that direction away from Abraham, a spiritual man. Someone has said this: nearness brings likeness. Nearness brings likeness. My wife and I have been married for almost 16 years. And you know what? We're a lot more alike today probably than we were 16, 17, 18 years ago when we first met and we're first dating. Nearness brings likeness. You be near to someone, you spend a lot of time with someone, you're going to become more and more like them. You know, if you get near to the Lord, you're going to become more like the Lord. If you get near to the world, you know what you're going to become? More like the world. If you become near to a godly man or a godly lady or a godly friend, you know what? You're going to become a little bit more like them. You get near to ungodly influences and ungodly friends or whatever, you'll become more like them as well. If we get near to the world, we're in great danger of becoming like them. If we'll stay near to godly people, we're a whole lot more likely to live a godly life. Here, Lot sought no counsel from Abraham. I understand he was presented with this choice and decision, but he didn't say, "Uncle Abraham, what do you think I should do?" Abraham was a godly influence. Abraham was a man who was following God. He could have asked Abraham, "What do you think I should do?" But he didn't do that. Lot sought no counsel from Abraham. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." I've been seeking the Lord's counsel in weeks and months, honestly, and in the last several weeks as we've thought about things and should we consider things and should we consider a change of schedule or should we, I told you last week, it's never been in my heart to want to move. God brought us here, and I believe God called us here, truth is, though, when we moved to the area, I first lived in Maple because, you know what, I thought we'd start the church in Maple. But some things happened. Someone didn't necessarily want me there. So we said, okay, well, we'll move over a little bit. And we started the church in Richmond Hill. And yeah, I believe God allowed that and helped that to be. And God knew it would be. And God did some great things. As we've considered changes to a schedule, and now especially when we consider that the reality of maybe moving our church a little bit to the next town over, boy, I'm seeking counsel and asking godly advice and asking pastors to pray for us and with us about this. We always ought to be willing to seek counsel and seek direction. Lot made a choice to go away from a spiritual man, away from a spiritual man. Secondly, he made a choice to go towards a wicked city. His direction took him away from a spiritual man. It took him toward a wicked city. We see that there, verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. There were some things about it that looked very appealing to him, that looked good to him. So he separated from Lot. The problem was he went down towards that wicked city. In that valley, there were five little cities, including Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was intrigued, perhaps, with the thought of prosperity. And he didn't show any reverence to his older uncle, Abraham. Lot's whole basis of his decision was on the temporal, not on the eternal. He didn't think, well, how is this going to affect my family? How might it affect my children if we leave good old godly Uncle Abraham? How might it affect our family if we get down closer to those wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? No, he made the choice with, there's prosperity for me there. I see the well-watered plains down there. That'll be so good. My herds, they'll become, you know, probably greater than Abraham's. I'm getting the best. You know, sometimes people make choices like that for their family without even thinking about what does God want. I thank the Lord that in most cases of people that we've had move away, they've at least chosen to move to areas where they knew they would have a real good church to go to. You know, you get in great danger where you decide, well, I'm just going to move somewhere because I can get a great job there and make a whole lot of money, or I can have some so much nicer place, but without any thought to, well, I'd have no good church to go to there. We need to be careful about our choices, don't we? And Lot's choice was being made solely for, well, this will cause me to prosper. This will be good for me financially. And he didn't think about how it might affect his family. Many men will set a wrong direction spiritually by focusing too strongly on their careers or on their personal desires in life. 1 John 2:16-17 warns us, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You want to make sure you do the will of God. Some of you, as you pursue things in your career and those that are still young, and you're going to make choices for it. Well, this is just what I want. Always consider the spiritual. Consider how it might affect your family. Consider when you're choosing where to live or what job to take or where to work. Consider that you're going to have a good church to be in. Consider how it might affect you spiritually, how it might affect your family. Lot pitched his tent, we learn, towards Sodom. He set his direction towards Sodom. You know what? When he was setting up his tents, he could have set it so that the doors and the openings were facing the other direction. But I believe even in that expression, he set it so that when he looked out the door of his tent, he was looking towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He set his direction that way. Listen, Sodom was a wicked city. The area is now completely covered by the Dead Sea. Many years ago, a man from Axenia Seminary found graveyards of the cities with lewd inscriptions and evidences of fire and brimstone. In Psalm chapter 1:1-2, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners." That's what Lot did. Lot began to stand in the way of sinners. He could have chosen to stay as far away from Sodom and Gomorrah as possible, but he didn't. He set his direction towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He pitched his tents towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He got closer to Sodom and Gomorrah. He got down closer to where the sinners were, if you will. We need to be careful. The first strength, the first word of criticism of the Bible, the first wrong thing to look upon, how it can affect us. This direction meant not only the loss of wealth, but also the loss of the souls of his family. First thing we see this morning is that Lot chose a wrong direction. Lot chose a wrong direction. The second thing I want you to see this morning is Lot's devotion. Turn with me to Genesis 14. Genesis 14 and verse 12. We see Lot's direction. He chose the wrong direction. He went away from that spiritual man and he went towards that wicked city. He went towards and he began to stand in the way of sinners. Second, we see Lot's devotion, his devotion for the city. Genesis 14 and verse 12 says this, "And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom and his goods, and departed." When we come to chapter 14, Lot has now moved into Sodom. Before, he was just in the well-watered plains. He was getting down near Sodom. But when we come to chapter 14, now he and his family, they had moved into Sodom. They had moved into the midst of those very ungodly, wicked people in a very, very wicked city. We see Lot living in Sodom. The simple direction of his life had changed the devotion of his life. There's an old poem that was written and made into a song. "Sin will take you farther than you want to go, slowly withholding, taking control. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay." Can I tell you something? Every choice Lot made here, the effects, that song I just sang, it all found itself. It all proved itself in Lot's life. Sin took him farther than he wanted to go. It kept him longer than he wanted to stay. It cost him later far more than he'd ever want to pay. The war, the trouble that ended up coming upon the city of Sodom had an effect on Lot and his family. Lot also was taken into captivity. If we read on there, it's telling about how they took him. Read on in verse 13, Genesis chapter 14, verse 13. "And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. For he dwelt in the plain of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Asner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus." Verse 16, "And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people." Abraham rescued Lot. Here's good old godly Uncle Abraham. He hadn't forgotten Lot. I'm sure he was disappointed.
I'm sure he was discouraged that Lot, his family, had gone and moved into that wicked city, Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham didn't stop praying for them, didn't stop caring about them. And here, when they were taken away as captives, he got his own servants who were trained, and he took them up. We're going to get him. We want to rescue him. We want to bring Lot back. Wouldn't you think that with Abraham doing what he did to rescue him and to care for him and to show his love to him, and I'd say, why don't you come back? Don't you think he maybe would wisen up to say, maybe I should go back and be with Abraham again? But he didn't. He ends up going right back into Sodom. To Sodom. How tragic that is. The Bible tells us this over in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 20. It says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." Isn't that sad? You think of Abraham. He had a chance to escape. He was rescued by Abraham. He wouldn't have had to go back to Sodom, yet he did. He wouldn't have had to go back to that wicked, corrupt city, but he did. And how sad it is when we as believers, we've been rescued and we've been set free from the pollutions of this world and we've been allowed to escape. You shall know the truth shall make you free. But then for us to go back to the pollutions, to go back to the corruptness of this world, how sad it is. When Jesus rescues us from sin, how tragic it is when we just go back to the entanglements and pollutions of this world. Galatians 5:1 warns us, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Lot was now living in a place of wickedness. He had become far too comfortable living in the world. Far too comfortable living in the world. In Genesis 19:8, he ended up calling the wicked men of the city, he ended up calling them brethren. Can you imagine that? He calls the wicked men of the city, they're just my brethren. He had changed. And it all started with him taking a wrong direction. First thing we see in the story this morning is that Lot took a wrong direction. He went away from that godly influence in his life. And he went towards a wicked city, towards the world, if you will. We see his devotion then. His devotion was no longer for God. His devotion was, he loved the world. He was comfortable there in Sodom. Third thing I want you to see is this. Lot's life was destroyed. Lot's life was really destroyed in his family's life. Turn with me over to Genesis chapter 19. We see the end results. Remember we read there in Peter, the end shall be worse with them than the beginning. How sad. He's goes into Sodom. He has a chance to be set free from that, but he goes back anyways. We see Lot's life destroyed in many ways. The first way is this: family respect was lost. He lost the respect of his family. Notice what it says there in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 12. "And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides? Son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Here was the angels that God had sent, and they're telling Lot, "Listen, Lot, God's going to destroy the city. You need to get out of the city. You need to get your daughters, you need to get your son-in-laws, you need to get your family, and you need to get out of the city." Verse 14 says, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." He seemed as one that mocked. Lot was far gone. They were not being deceived. Lot was not living for the Lord like he should. God, in his graciousness, and probably in truth and reality, because of the prayers of Abraham, and because of good old godly Uncle Abraham, was going to allow Lot to escape from Sodom for Abraham's sake. But when Lot comes to his sons-in-law and says, "Listen, Get your wives. We've got to get out of here. Our family, we need to get out of Sodom. God's going to destroy it. He seemed to them as one that mocked. Why would they listen to him now? Lot was not a godly man. Lot was not one that they would want to listen to. He was living very ungodly at the time. He lost the respect of his family. They no longer wanted to listen to his message because his life spoke more loudly now than his words. His life spoke more loudly than his words. Little boy said to his mother, Can I go outside and help Daddy put some snow chains on the car, on the wheels? I know all the words. Somebody said this, a hypocrite can be defined as someone who complains that there's too much immorality and violence on his DVD player. Think about that. A hypocrite can be defined as someone who complains that there's just too much immorality and violence on his DVD player. You understand that you could control what's on your DVD player? You could control the things that you watch? Listen, Lot had some control, and he made some wrong choices. He determined his direction by those choices. Lot lost the respect of his family. They no longer wanted to follow him. It's been said, your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Did you understand that? No, let's say it again. Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And I believe that's what they looked at Lot. We don't care about what you say. We've seen your life. Who are you? Why should we listen to you? He lost the respect of his family. A man named Richard Halverson was a chaplain for the U.S. Senate. And he spoke before a group of evangelical Christians who had expressed their anger about Congress's inactivity on the subject of school prayer. And they were irritated that Congress had not acted with a strong initiative to restore prayer in schools. To these who were seeking greater initiative from the government, Dr. Halverson said, "How many of you have prayed with your children this month outside of the church?" And none of them raised their hand. Spiritual initiative needs to start in the home and not just with the government. Listen, we can complain, why don't they have more of the Bible in our schools? Why won't they pray in our schools? They don't want any of that anymore. Well, are we praying and reading the Bible in our homes with our children? We could complain all we want to. Oh, I wish they'd still have that in the schools. We don't even have it in our homes. I don't know if any of you saw it. I just saw something Friday or Saturday. There was in Richmond Hill and in other cities around Toronto, there's been debates recently because of some Supreme Court ruling. And can we pray when we open up our council meetings, town council meetings? Can we pray? And people are saying, oh, no, we better not pray anymore, or we better not say the Lord's Prayer anymore. Different council meetings might do different things. And then the town of Richmond Hill was one of those that was having some votes, and people are disrupted about all this. And Greg Barrows and some others suggested, well, let's, you know, if we can't pray, can we just, you know, recite the national anthem, or we could quote the national anthem. And then people were, oh no, we can't do that. It says in there, God keep our land, Lord. And we can't have any mention of God, you know, we can't be. And how sad it is, really. Our town ended up voting with the regional councilors, the mayor, everybody, 8-1. Greg Barrows, we know he's a Christian man. He was the only one who voted in favor. Everybody else voted, no, we can't even do the national anthem. And another regional councilor, feminist and so on, she suggested some crazy little thing she wrote, and it's really nothing to do with anything. Just saying, let's serve the people. Listen, we can complain all we want to and say, oh, I wish our cities were better than they are. And I wish things were different in our country. But are we praying in our home? Are we loving God like we should? That was the problem here with Lot. He had become a hypocrite. For him to try to stand there now and talk to his son-in-laws and say, oh, we need to get out of here. God wants us out of here. Why would they listen to him now? He lost the respect of his family. Lot's life was destroyed because he chose to walk a wrong direction. What were the consequences? Well, he lost the respect of his family. Secondly, family friends were lost. Family friends were lost. Look down in chapter 19, verse 24 and 25. Chapter 19, verse 24 and 25, it says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. You know, they'd made themselves some friends in that city and stuff, but they lost them all. God destroyed it all, them all. Psalm 11 and verse 6 says, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Archaeologists from the American School of Research at Jerusalem reported their findings of the Dead Sea region. They said when the explosion of gases took place, there was a stratum of salt that was mixed with sulfur, and as it ruptured, it carried up into the heavens and then rained down on this whole region. Mixed with salt and sulfur was asphalt heated to a high degree. There's a story about a little boy whose mother, when she was disciplining him, used to say, oh, God wouldn't like that, Johnny. God wouldn't want you to do that, Johnny. And when the little boy got really out of hand, the mother would say, oh, God's going to be angry with you, Johnny. Usually these reminders were sufficient, but one evening at supper, the youngster was rebelling. And he would not eat the prunes that the mother gave him for dessert. Oh, he would yield neither to persuasion nor warnings. And you know, God's going to be angry with you, Johnny. God's going to be angry with you. Soon after, the child had gone to bed and a violent thunderstorm arose. And the boy was there in his room and, you know, the thunder's crashing and it's loud and so on. And the mom went up the little boy's room expecting that the boy would be just in terror at God's anger bringing this thunderstorm. But to her surprise, she found that here was little Johnny and he was looking out the window and he was looking out at the storm and he said, oh, it's an awful fuss for God to make just over a few prunes. Listen, so many times we do not fear God like we should. Here was Lot. He did not fear God. He didn't live for God like he should. It had terrible consequences. Terrible consequences. He lost his wife. Look at this in verse 26. Family friends were lost. Family members were lost. Verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She became a pillar of salt. Don't turn back. You know, the Bible, even over in the New Testament, Luke 17, 32 says, remember Lot's wife. He wants us to remember. Remember Lot's wife. Remember what happened to her. Instead of following Lot out of Sodom and so on, she turned back. God uses that little three words in the book of Luke to try to teach us a lesson. Hey, don't turn back. Don't go back. Don't go into the world. Don't look back to what this world has to offer. She lost her life. Lot lost his wife because she turned back. Because she turned back. Not only that, but the last thing we see there, family morals were lost. Family morals. He lost the respect of his family. They lost friends. He lost his wife. Their family lost their morals. Their family lost their morals. We see that over in chapter 19. Turn over to verse 30 to 33. Genesis chapter 19, beginning there in verse 30, it says, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there's not a man in the earth that coming unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve our seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. It came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesterday with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also. And go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. How terrible it was. That now the daughters would try to get their father drunk. And really a terrible sin of incest and immorality and so on would be committed. You know what? The use of wine preceding immorality is not something new to our generation. You need to be careful to stay away from it. It can destroy your morals, destroy your family. Lot's downward slide began with one wrong decision. One wrong decision. It was a choice of direction. What direction was he going to go? He could have chose to stay with Abraham. He could have chose to follow Abraham. He could have chose to get as far away from Sodom and Gomorrah as possible. But no, he didn't. He made a wrong choice in direction. Lot's downward slide began with that wrong decision. It's a choice of direction. Be careful of the choices you make. The directions you choose to go in your life. You can say, oh, it's not going to affect me. Well, maybe if God somehow spares you or brings you out or brings you back, it may affect your children. It may affect others. Perhaps you've made wrong decisions that have affected your direction or they've affected your life negatively. Can I remind us of a wonderful truth that even during Lot's backsliding, the Lord still loved him? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 8 in the New Testament, the Bible says this, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow and making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." It was affecting him horribly. It was vexing his soul, his spirit, his life. And it brought a lot of terrible consequences and undesirable things about Lot's life. But you know what? God still looked at Lot as just Lot, a saved man. A saved man. And God still loved him, even in his backsliding and going away from God. Some of you this morning are backsliding. You've gone away from God. But God still loves you. Lot's soul was vexed. It was troubled. It was pressed down. God doesn't want your soul to be vexed like that. God wants you to know peace. He loves you. Be careful about what choices you make and what direction you take in life. Well, someone said to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge, and that's true. But to do the will of God is the greatest achievement. You know, you can know what's right to do and not be doing it. You can know what the Lord wants in your life, but disobey it. God, the missionary last Sunday night, he said some things. You've got three choices. Do this, this, or disobey. Yeah, that's right. That's pretty much what it boils down to in so many things. Do this or disobey. We often don't like to think about that way, but if we don't do what God wants us to do, we're choosing to disobey. Be careful about the direction you choose. Be careful about the choices you make. Lot ended up walking in the wrong direction. The wrong direction. And it greatly affected his life. You can't go the wrong direction and it not affect you. You can't go the wrong direction and it not affect your children. You can't go the wrong direction and not affect those you influence. Let's be careful how we live. Heavenly Father,